Welcome to Under the Sea on the Voice America Kids channel. Get ready to join our aquatic tour as your host takes you to a world that you've never known about, under the sea. Whether you know a lot or a little about marine life, we're sure to have something to interest you. Now, here's your host.
Thank you, and welcome to Under the Sea. I'm your host, Jacob, and if you're looking for another fabulous destination for scuba diving, and also you like to wall dive, well today, you're getting double the bonus. Because today, we're going to be talking about the marvelous Sweaty Bay Wall out in the Caribbean. It's going to be a great show, everyone, so please come in, relax, put your regulators on, because we're going down into the deep. Well, first off, I hope everyone had a beautiful summer, and I hope everyone had a wonderful time with their friends and family. Hope everyone had a marvelous Halloween, and all the kids out there got a bunch of candy, and I'm wishing everyone a wonderful and safe, happy Thanksgiving. Remember, eat a bunch of turkey. Don't be ashamed. It's Thanksgiving. Okay, well, also, I'm no longer an 8th grade student at Clifton Middle School. I am now a freshman at Reagan High School. And I didn't get to go diving this summer. I wanted to go to Pensacola, but unfortunately it didn't work out. So I was pretty sad about that. But I hope everyone out there is doing well. So let's get started about the Bloody Bay Wall. Well, first off, the Bloody Bay Wall is known as the most breathtaking drop-off inside of the Caribbean. Some divers have even described this beautiful coral wall as one of the 7 underwater wonders of the diving world. They say that no matter how many times you dive here, it is amazing. Well, actually, I like to compare things to real life. It's kind of like an underwater Smithsonian, if you will. Because with the Smithsonian, it's so big, it's about 20 museums apart. And so you could be there for 2 weeks and still not see everything. This is basically how this wall works, is that you could be here for several months and you could still not see the entire wall, which is always amazing. This remarkable formation begins at a shallow depth of 22 to 30 feet, which is actually quite good for a starting point based on how far you are from the surface. And then it'll fall away to the abyssal depth of 1,000 feet. That's basically how oceans and seas work, is that oceans can go down to thousands of feet, which is really, really cool. And so can seas. That's how we differ from ponds and lakes and seas and oceans, based on how far they go down. And this wall is so vertical that you feel like a skydiver hanging in space. And also, us divers, before we take a dive, we always want to see the visibility of the water, because if the visibility isn't good, it can be dangerous because you can lose your partner. And also, like, you know, you can't see your hand in front of your face. That's how we test visibility. If we can see our hand in front of our face, the visibility is okay. But if not, that means it's pretty bad. So, and also, with sharks around, if the water is murky, that's when the most attacks happen, in murky water, because the sharks can't see what's going on and what they're biting. They don't know if it's prey or if they don't know it's a human. And they say the visibility is absolutely perfect. You can see the wall 200 feet to the left, 200 feet to the right, and 200 feet directly below. It is the most amazing undersea panorama that you could ever imagine. You will feel so small in the vastness of this towering cliff face. After you overcome the awe of this underwater spacewalk, you will begin to discover the bounty and beautifulness of this spectacular wall. If you like exotic colored sponges, this is the place for you. Because exotic colored sponges is one of their absolute best features. Especially their rare form of a platinum yellow tube sponge. See, if you have a thing for sponges, this is just the beginning. we have way more to come about this beautiful wall. You have 3 to 4 big lit Nassau groupers will stalking your movements. Well, if you were here for my very first fish of the week, my first fish of the week was the Jewfish, which is basically an extremely large grouper. And so, how these work, it's just another big grouper. And they'll look around you and they'll stalk you. Like a stalker. They have black and white markings like the colors of prison uniforms. So you can call them the prison fish, the big fish, the fish in the big house. You can call them fish in the joint, whatever. Just, even think of anything to remember it. And bright yellow conies will peek out from its beautiful coral hiding spots to come and say hello. And some amazing schools of silver-sided jacks will nervously scoop past you as they eyeball to exhaust just a little bit of plume. And what's absolutely amazing about this little dive site is that most fish are actually not afraid of these divers, because Bloody Bay Wall is secure within a marine park and wildlife is absolutely protected, which is very good for our ecosystem, because without fish, you know, we probably wouldn't be here. Because fish and sharks and everything underwater plays a huge role in the world's ecosystem and the world's environment around us. So, without the sea, you know, and without the fish, some of us wouldn't be here, because sometimes, because in some places, fish is basically all they eat, and they have to catch the fish. So if there are no fish, they'll starve, and they can die. And Bloody Bay Wall is actually a string of more than a dozen amazing dive sites that run along the edge of this beautiful wall, paralleling the shoreline. And actually, we'll get to those hot spots right over here in the next segment very, very soon. And it's going to be very amazing. And we'll get to talk about some of the beautiful dozen hot spots that there are. And we'll give you a documentary of every single one. It's going to be a great time over here in this next beautiful segment. And I hope that all of you will stay tuned for it, because we are going to talk about what you'll see in these amazing hot spots, where you'll find them, when you'll come in contact with them if you dive here, and how deep that they get. And we're going to talk about what amazing fish you'll see, and also what amazing coral or barnacles or whatever is there. And we're going to do basically the full shebang about this entire dive site and all of its amazing hot spots. So let's take a break. I'm Jacob, and you're listening to Under the Sea.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Kids safe, mother approved. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
There's so much going on in the tech field. The tech team is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to the Tech Team, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
This is Under the Sea on the Voice America Kids channel. We just came up for a little air, so let's plunge to the depths again and find out more on today's show.
Welcome back to Under the Sea. I'm your host, Jacob, and we're talking about the amazing and beautiful Blue Bay Walk. Now you know a little bit of information about the Blue Bay Walk, let's talk about some of the dozen hot spots that you're going to see over here in this beautiful walk. First, we're going to start talking about the Three Fathom Wall. A Three Fathom Wall is actually the very first dive site that you're going to come in contact with on the string. It is here that the wall comes in within 18 feet of this beautiful surface. It is one of the few drop-offs in the Caribbean that can be easily seen snorkeling, which is very cool. The face of the wall in this area is somewhat broken up by several small canyons and crevices. There is one winding ravine at a depth of 60 feet that finally turns into a coral tunnel and leads into a high vaulted cavern beneath our beautiful reef. Next, we're going to talk about the amazing Marilyn's Cut. Marilyn's Cut is actually a hot spot for some incredible fish action. So yeah, if y'all want to go spear fishing, if y'all want to just go look around, or if you want to, or if you're a scientist and you want to go study fish, this is the spot for you. At the very lip of this amazing wall, the area features a large 15-pound Nassau grouper and a school of a bunch of smaller ones. A school of horse-eyed jack are often seen cruising around this amazing dive site. You can also explore a combination cave and vertical crevice that forms the shape of an amazing underwater chimney. So get ready, fish, because Santa Claus is going to be coming to town. This spot is filled with Nassau groupers and a bunch of marvelous squirrel fish, plus some very friendly brown conies. Now that we've gotten to Marilyn's Cut, we're going to head on over to Randy's Gaze Boys, which is another splendid dive site where the wall drops straight away into the magical deep blue. The top of this wall is loaded with fascinating creatures like sailfin blennies, arrow crabs, octopus, and diamond hedgehogs. Black dragon turks eye patrol these waters like the army. A very friendly yellow pony often greets the divers and hams it with some beautiful photography. Because these little conies wait for their pictures to be taken like the underwater supermodels. So these fish are army supermodels just waiting to get their picture done. Also, some very, very beautiful red hinds, they sit motionless at a cleaner station as blue cleaner shrimp pluck parasites from its gills. Now that there are some friendly little shrimp trying to take care of their little itty bitty sea friends, which is always good for all around places. And also about wonderful places is that my dad once went to the flower gardens, but like I said last time, the Caymans, because it talks about octopus quite a bit in that show. And so octopus, they actually change many beautiful different colors. Like most of the time, if you get too close to them, they'll mostly turn red. Because my dad found one just hanging around the rock and shining his flashlight on it, and its head turned red. And I thought that was, like, really, really cool. I've always wanted to see an octopus, because some octopus are really, really cool. And some are extremely, extremely deadly. Like, the blue ring octopus is a very, very small octopus. But they are so, so, so dangerous. They're so venomous, so they get a hold of you, you're basically gonna die. What a way to go. But other octopus, like, because they get messed up with squids. Because they say, oh, that's a squid, and I have to come in and I say, no, that's an octopus. Because, so, here's the difference. A squid has got a very, very, very skinny head. And also, it has 10 tentacles. Squidward, I don't know what happened with Squidward, because Squidward has such a big head. I guess it's because of the nose. But he's supposed to have a skinnier head, but he does have all 10 tentacles, which is always good. And an octopus has a very big, fat head and only has 8 tentacles. And also, octopus feed at night. You'll mostly see them at night, or if you dive at night. So it's very rare whenever you'll see a octopus during the day. But squids, they come out all times during the day. And also, something in common about squids and octopus is that they make ink clouds. And I always thought that ink clouds would poison you. And so my dive instructor just finally said, no, it just clouds the water. I'm like, oh, okay, I thought that ink was deadly or something like that. Because for a long time, I only thought squids did ink clouds. But octopus do them too. Which is really cool. It's just their way for defense. If they're trying to get away from, like, you know, a predator, they'll just do an ink cloud. And then they'll swim away in plenty of time. And always, that's just the way that they're safe. And safety plays a huge role in our ecosystem. Because in every category, there is the predator, and then there is the prey. And being the prey is never cool. But they're just saying that there's always a bigger fish in the sea. Which is true. Because if you see this giant big fish that's coming after you, a bigger fish just gonna come out and eat that one. Because I've actually seen it happen. I once got chased by a gigantic fish swimming around in the sea. I was just swimming. And then all of a sudden I look behind me and this giant fish comes out and grabs that fish and eats it. So whenever I got out of the water, I looked around and I said, there's always a bigger fish. So I thought that was really cool. And I still think about that to this day. That, because I know that there's always a bigger fish in the sea. Because the sea, they also have other sayings, like whenever people are looking for a date and it just doesn't turn out right, like, you know, they're all feeling down, they just say, there are more fish in the sea. Just keep on looking, and the right fish is going to swim along. And they think about that for a minute, and they go, wow. Right. There are always bigger fish in the sea. And there are always more fish in the sea. So, the sea is quite amazing for defense. Because I don't remember what the name of the fish is, but there's a bunch of fish. It's a school, and they come together and they make this kind of a tornado cyclone shape. And they mostly do it for defense to outnumber predator. so that the predator will eventually get scared and run away. And there is the stonefish. And I heard that that one is very, very, very venomous. And so what it does is, like, it camouflages itself in the stone, or in the rock, underwater. And so whenever its prey comes along, it'll just swipe it and kill it and eat it. I thought those were really, really, really cool. And also, what I didn't know was that I was spending all my time eating all these amazing lobsters. And they said, like, do you know what lobsters are related to? And I said, no, what are they related to? They said, they're related to cockroach. And I was like, wow. Because to me, they look absolutely nothing like a cockroach. But and my brother was like, don't worry, I love them. I eat them all the time, but they're related to the cockroach. And I thought that was just, like, extremely interesting. So, I'll always remember that the next time I'm eating a lobster. I was like, oh yeah, this is just another descendant from the cockroaches. So next time you eat a lobster, remember, it's not what you think it is. It's another member of the cockroach family. So I would tell this little cockroach descendant that you are big, red, and marvelously delicious. And also, they're always hanging around. So I think you can also go lobster collecting. I think because like they always hang around the bottom, so you can just grab them. Like if you want, like take a little tape with you to take their claws so that they can't get you, and just put them in the boat and get ready for a big old boil because it's coming. We're gonna have a delicious boil coming up if you get there. Let's take a break. I'm Jacob and you're listening to Under the Sea.
Every Monday for Purple Songs Can Fly. Our program serves as a musical outlet for children being treated at the Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers. These songs are flown all over the world and even into space. Hundreds of songs have been written and recorded and have been part of shuttle missions, airline in-flight playlists, toured with the Rolling Stones, gone undersea and to the top of Mount Everest. Join our hosts for some great music on Purple Songs Can Fly, Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, on Voice America Kids.
The longer you listen, the later it gets. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
I'm Lindsay Marie, and I'm with Bookworm. Today I'm going to read you a book. Today's book is called Lil's Pet Shop, Best Friends, by Quentin B. Lee, illustrated by Tim Tablet. Best friends come in all shapes and sizes. You may not look the same on the outside, but in the inside, friends are always have a lot in common. Your best friend is your closest pal. The best thing about a best friend is having someone to play with. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as you're together. Best friends find a way to keep in touch, even if they aren't in the same place. A quick call or a long letter is only takes a sec to send your friend an email or draw a funny picture. Happy feelings will last all day long. Best friends make getting there half the fun. When you're traveling around town, it's always more fun to catch a ride with your best friend. When you're shopping with a best friend, anything goes. If your doggy bag is a little low on funds, pressing your nose against the glass window shopping is just as fun. Being with your friend is better than anything money can buy, and being with a friend is priceless. Most friends always have something to celebrate, whether it's a birthday, a holiday, or just being together. All you need is tunes, treats, and a place to meet. Parties are always more fun when you plan them with a best friend. Having a sleepover with your best friend means sharing snacks, secrets, and LOLs. Best friends can have pillow fights, paint their toenails before snuggling into their sleeping bags to watch a video. Being with your best friend is always a treat, and a great way to let her know is give her something special. It could be a daisy chain necklace or something yummy you can share. No one knows better than best friends how to treat each other right. Best friends love each other just the way they are, but it still gives each other makeovers. You can each find a perfect new look. Try wearing a necklace or a bow or even a tiara. One thing is for sure, having your best friend by your side is always the best accessory. When you're feeling kind of slow and you're not sure if you can make it, your best friend can be your best cheerleader. And if you are the last across the finish line, your best friend won't leave you behind, because best friends are always worth waiting for. Find a shady spot and a blanket. Add a blanket, a buddy, and a basket of goodies. It's a best friend picnic. You might have tuna and she like my roast beef, but you'll both love spending an afternoon together, spying cloud shapes in the sky. If you think you're going to the movies with your best friend, it's fun, but why not try making a movie together? Grab a costume and a camera. It can be a star in your own backyard. Best friends know that snacks always taste better when you share them. Sharing a snack is always thoughtful, and it's a part of what makes friendship so yummy. Best friends love learning together, playing together, eating together in the cafeteria. Plus, best friends make the best study buddies. A best friend can take you on a trip across the ocean or just across town. Either way, traveling together is twice as fun. And wherever you go together, friendship is always bound to be in style. Everything more is fun when you share it with a best friend. The end. I hope you enjoyed the book. I'm Lindsay Marie, and I'm with Bookworm on Voice America Kids.
You've become a teenager and are ready to move on to the next phase of your years. The squeals and screams are replaced by slightly less squeals and screams, and you're expected to act a little more grown up. Tune in to Life at 14 for the answers and support you need to get through this time in your life. Your hosts have some amazing life experiences, and because of this, they have the know-how to get you ready for what's next. Life at 14, Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Kids channel. When you hear the term break a leg, what do you think of? Maybe it's the movies, musicals, stage shows, and theater. Break a Leg will explore all forms of creativity, whether it's from theater, movies, TV, or even books. On our show, we'll discuss all aspects of show business, including how to get your start and what's trending now. Guests include actors, singers, and dancers working in the industry to give you a unique and personal perspective. Tune in weekly to Break a Leg, your all things entertainment show, Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Tune in to Dinosaur Detectives with Little Miss Dinosaur, Anna Dubois. We'll not only learn about dinosaurs, but also about fossils, ancient civilizations, and ask questions from paleontologists. You'll learn about science in general with an emphasis on paleontology and dinosaurs. Anna hopes that this show will start or increase your awareness and interest in the field of science. Dinosaur Detectives can be heard every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Looking for a show about your favorite movies, stars, and DVD releases? Get ready for Kids First Coming Attractions on the Voice America Kids channel. Your hosts, all eight of them, have been selected by Kids First as film critics through a national competition. Each week, they will preview new movies before you see them, walk the red carpet with the stars, and will review the latest DVDs. Our hosts range from ages 7 to 14 to give you a wider kids' perspective. Kids First Coming Attractions is heard every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Kids.
This is Under the Sea on the Voice America Kids channel. We just came up for a little air, so let's plunge to the depths again and find out more on today's show.
Welcome back to Under the Sea. I'm your host, Jacob, and we're talking about the amazing Dirty Baby Walk. Now, after I've given you the hot spot, before we get to our fish of the week, I want to talk to you about an amazing channel that I found on YouTube. And this channel is called Blue World. And it's a channel with a scuba diver by the name of Jonathan Bird. And it is absolutely incredible all the stuff that he's been to. He picks a dive place, a dive site, every single show. And he goes there and he dives there looking for different stuff. Sometimes he's looking, one of these times he was looking for a very... an almost extinct shark somewhere. I don't remember where it was. And he actually found it. And he got a picture with it. And he has seen so many incredible things. He's seen sea otters. And I got a little jealous with the sea otters. Because sea otters are so cute. And like, you just want to cuddle up them. They're so cool. And... so, and he also, he's been to a couple aquariums. He's been to the Boston Aquarium, and also my favorite episode was probably the Georgia Aquarium, and which is actually the largest aquarium in the world. And he was talking about the whale shark, and the whale shark is actually the largest fish in the sea. And they were talking about how they have four whale sharks. And whale sharks can grow larger than a bus. I mean, they're huge. And they're mostly they mostly have brown spots and they're white on their bellies. And in the wild, they eat plankton. They just start swimming with an open mouth and catching all plankton particles in their gill rakers. And that's how they eat plankton, but yeah, because they do a little technique called filter feeding. And also they have manta rays, which grow larger than a car. Which are absolutely amazing, because in most aquariums, mostly the largest shark that they'll have is a sand tiger shark. Because sand tiger sharks get real, 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 real big. So, and also... with other sharks in the aquarium is that they'll be rather small. Like they'll probably have sand tiger sharks, they'll probably have maybe a hammerhead shark, it's possible. But also, now kids, this part is for you. If there is a station in the aquarium that you know you've been to, and they have stingrays and other different rays, and this part is, and this little segment is for you. I'm going to teach you a little trick. Next time y'all go, and it's just a big area of water with a bunch of stingrays in it, here's what you got to do. Put your fingers in the water, and rub them together like you're asking dad for money. Or big brother or big sister for a little bit of money. But do it with two fingers or three fingers even. And it'll make a little friction sound in the water. And you'll hear it too. And it'll bring the stingrays right over to you. Especially those cow nose rays. Like a cow nose ray is about, it's a gray stingray. but it has like little slanted curved lines on the face that separates it. And they're really friendly. Like, they'll walk up to you, they'll start splashing water on you. Like, and if you leave, they'll start splashing water at you for you to come back. That was what happened to me with a counter. I wanted to leave, but the counter was ready to want me to leave. So they started splashing water on me. And that was pretty cool. And, like, you know, whenever you pet them, they feel so soft whenever you try to pet the stingrays. And, like, you could probably do it with a manta ray, but you'll be petting a manta ray for a while because they're so huge. And, so remember that, kids. Next time you go to the aquarium, go to the rays. Like, you know, I live in Texas, and we go to the Houston Downtown Aquarium. And that's really cool. There's a bunch of fish and amazing things. And they have one electric eel, which is really cool. You walk into the cave, and it's a recording, and it goes, "Who enters my lair?" And you see the electric eel swimming around. And they have torches in there all lit up. That was really cool. And moray eels, I want to talk about those for a minute. They look like, I thought they were snakes for a while. But then I finally found out those are eels. And they're mostly green, light green. And they like to make friends. Like last time I was there, they made friends with a moray eel, made friends with some sort of fish. I just don't know the name of it. I don't think it was a barracuda. It was a really, really fat fish. I just don't know the name of it. It was probably a grouper. I think that's what it was. I think it was a version of a grouper. And also what they do over there is that, like, you know, we've all seen piranhas there. Like, you know, they're really tiny. But they kind of scare me because they have these little itty-bitty ferocious little teeth. And, like, you know, they're kind of scary. And they scare me for sure. And, like, you know, they're... Because what scares me about piranha is that one piranha alone can't kill you. So, he'll go, and he'll find, like, 2,000 of his buddies. Then they'll kill you. Which is, like, really freaky. And electric eels, like, what I really wanted to find out is how electric eels create that electric current. Which allows them, like, you know, to shock people. Like, you know, with, if anyone's seen Amazing Spider-Man 2, like, you know, there was, Electro who became Electro due to, a bunch of electric eels. I thought that was pretty cool, but too bad it was fictional. It was fiction. And, like, if that could actually happen, like, we would, like, all have superpowers. Like, I'd be, like, the first in line, like, "Hey, I wanna get killed by electric eels, I wanna have superpowers." But, again, I don't want to lose my hair, because, like, I love my hair. Oh, enough of my hair. But, also with the blue weird, they were talking about how to feed bull sharks. And with bull sharks, they were actually really cool, because they had to wear, like, you know, chainmail, so that if the bull shark actually did bite you, it wouldn't go through. The teeth wouldn't go through and pierce your skin. But you will drop like a rock. As soon as you hit that water, I mean, you'll drop like a rock because all that heavy metal you're on, your buoyancy changes so much, you're gonna sink so fast. So you have to monitor that accordingly. But it was really cool how they got to feed the bull sharks. Like, they had to be really careful whenever they fed them, but it was super, super, super cool. And me personally, I literally love to watch it. Because what I like about Jonathan Bird is that he cares about fish. I mean, he really does care about fish. And he cares about, like, you know, the world. The ocean world. Because every single time he enters his show, you just hear him go, "Hi, I'm Jonathan Bird." And he points to the ocean. He goes, "And welcome to my world." And you see a bunch of videos that he's done, and he puts them into a title sequence.
And you see all the places where he's been to, all the fish he's seen, and all the stuff that he's done, and that's just absolutely amazing. Because you see all the fish he's done, all the equipment he's worn. Because one, like, he wears his little suit. If you don't want to scuba dive, you can just put on this little air helmet, and it's just like walking. You can start walking around, and you can talk through it, which is really cool. And you can talk with scuba divers, like, but you have to use a special mask, and you have to press a button in order to talk. And my dive instructor showed me one of those, and they're really cool. So next time you see Jonathan Bird, go ahead and watch it. It's called, again, I'll tell you the channel again, it's called Blue World. So let's take a break. I'm Jacob, and you're listening to Under the Sea.
Tune in every Monday for Purple Songs Can Fly. Our program serves as a musical outlet for children being treated at the Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers. These songs are flown all over the world and even into space. Hundreds of songs have been written and recorded and have been part of shuttle missions, airline in-flight playlists, toured with the Rolling Stones, gone undersea and to the top of Mount Everest. Join our hosts for some great music on Purple Songs Can Fly, Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, on Voice America Kids.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Join us every week for the Paper Hope Street Team. None of our topics are off the table. This is a program that you can listen to and discuss with your family. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics you want to talk about, such as friendship and relationships, or some more controversial issues about sex, drugs, and underage drinking. Join the Paper Hope Street Team live every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. Let's talk soon.
This is Under the Sea on the Voice America Kids channel. We just came up for a little air, so let's plunge to the depths again and find out more on today's show.
Welcome back to Under the Sea. I'm your host, Jacob, and it's time for the Fish of the Week. Okay, three buttons, please. Wait for it. Wait for it.
The Sand Tiger Shark! Woo! Okay. Alright. Y'all ready for the Sand Tiger Shark? Because I know I am. You are? Okay, let's see it. Okay. The Sand Tiger Sharks are the sharks that have the very ferocious looking teeth. And they look like, you know, scary. Like, you know, they tell you in elementary school to stay away from them. You don't want to end up like Finding Nemo or the Sand Tiger Shark's friend because of the spacing per se. Okay, so Sand Tiger Sharks have a very actually deceiving ferocious look. Like, you know, like I said, with their scary ferocious looking teeth. But really, they are absolutely no threat to people. They eat smaller prey, like squid and stuff like that. They can live 15 years or even longer. They go from a terrific 6'5" to 10.5 feet long. Basically, they only attack humans when they have been bothered first. And that's it. And sand tiger sharks are actually brownish gray with rusted colored spots on top and white underneath. They have a rather flattened cone shaped snout and a distinctive oblong tail with a notched upper lobe that is significantly longer than the lobe below. They're known actually
their name actually, comes from their tendency toward their shoreline habitats. And they are often trolling the ocean floor. In the surface, they're very, very close to shore. They're right up on shore. And they're mostly found in warm waters throughout the world's ocean, except the Eastern Pacific. Because sand tigers are the only shark to come to the surface and actually gulp air. And also, they store the air in their stomachs, which allows them to float motionless in the water, seeking prey. So they play dead. They're like, I'm dead, sharky, 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 sharky. And whenever the fish comes out, like,
that's what you get.
And you just walk it, what's up? Just, eats that prey. And doesn't think again about it. It's nothing of it. Which is always the payback for cussing a shark out in fish language. I don't know how to do that, because whenever you try to... Excuse me. Sorry about that. But they feed at night, and generally stay close to the bottom where they will eat crustaceans, and they'll eat squid as well. And they occasionally hunt in groups, and they have been known to attack full fishing, which is really cool. Well, I thought like I was saying, well, like, that's what you get for cussing me out. Like, I don't know how to cuss out a fish in fish language. I think I have to blow, like, a certain amount of bubbles out of my regulator to make a fish mad. I don't know. Kind of cool. If, like, you learn how to do that. Hey, that would be, like, so funny, like, if you started catching out a fish. Also, sand tiger sharks are actually featured in a lot of movies. Like, they're featured in Finding Nemo. For, like, the Fish Are Friends Club. Because they have Bruce, like, you know, he's the great white shark with all the 3,000 teeth. He's like, get on the mic. Hello. My name's Bruce. Oh, yes, a putty. We don't have a putty. Like, you know, you see all the bombs. They're like, hey, Rick Barnes, it is a party. Now let's start by saying the pledge. I am my fishing. I will never eat a fish when I have. Fish are friends, not food. And today you are required to bring a friend. Oh, yeah, he's my little friend, Mickey, you know, with the hammerhead shark. He's all scared of it. So, like, three days, hey there! And he swims away. And the sand tiger shark goes, oh, I'm used to a nice in this place, my friend. Oh, it's okay, you can borrow one of mine. So Marlin, that's you. And he gets the hammerhead shark. So I will start, you introduce yourself and say hello to your life. For example, hello, my name is Bruce. Hello, Bruce. And so Dory comes up.
Hi, I'm Dory.
Hello, Dory. And I have to tell you something, like, I don't think I've ever eaten a fish before. Like,
oh my god, it's a good on you, mate.
I'm like, huh, I really gotta cut that thing off my chest. Like, hello, my name is Marlin, I'm a clownfish.
A clownfish? Come on, man, tell us a joke. Tell us a joke.
Nemo.
I
don't think it's me. No, Nemo's my son. He's taken one of his daughters. And he's like,
no, there is the father.
But he says, little boy, I never knew my father. So that's basically how the sand tiger sharks work. Back in Finding Nemo, it was the great white, which is Bruce. The sand tiger, and then the hammerhead. Those are the three most common whenever you're in a movie. And those are, like, really, really cool. Also, if you would like to email the show, email it at voiceamericakids@yahoo.com. Remember to mention my name, Jacob Nelson. And also, mention the show. Under the Sea. Share your thoughts, ask a question, give some advice, or just want to talk. Send me an email. And your questions or comments will be answered on the air. So remember, if you have any questions for us, please let us know so that we can be happy to get back to you and share you some wonderful questions. If it's about a fish of the week that I've mentioned and you want to hear more about it, I'd be happy to give you more information. Because, like, you know, that's what we live for. We live for information. Because we always want to learn different things every single time. Which is always great. And remember, fish are friends, not food. I want everyone to get that through their head, because we are friends, not food. Even though I am a disgrace to that, because I've eaten fish way too many times. So Bruce would be ashamed. So I just hope Bruce is in here.
He's right there!
Not kidding. So, hey, all you fans and scuba divers out there, we want to thank you so much for joining us this week. We've had a great time. I hope y'all have liked the show. Remember, you've been listening to Under the Sea. I'm your host, Jacob, and this show has been produced by KidStar for the Voice of America Kids Network. Live from my beautiful home in Houston, Texas. Thanks for listening, and we'll be with you again next week. Bye, everyone.
All ashore, who's going ashore?
Thanks for joining us this week for Under the Sea. As always, we'll be back next Wednesday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. So don't be late or you'll miss the boat. Of course, you can always float along by listening on demand. We'll talk again next week.
My name is Lindsay Marie from Bookworm, and now from the KidStar Album of the Month. Here's Mr. Saxophone, Dave Farther, with Hugs and Kisses.
First you take your arms, open them wide, big enough to put an elephant inside. Then you wrap them up tight around somebody you love. Give them big hugs and kisses. Take your little tiny hands. But when they're far apart, you gotta make room for that great big heart. Then you wrap them up tight around somebody you love. Give them all some hugs and kisses. It's hard to catch a ball when you're oh so small. Your little bitty arms, hard to do anything at all. But the great four hugs, you got hugs to spare. We hug like bears, and bears love to share. So take those arms, open them wide. Big enough to put a rhinoceros inside. And you wrap them up tight around somebody you love. Give them all some hugs and kisses. To put a hippopotamus inside. And then you wrap them up tight around somebody you love. Give them all some hugs and kisses. Give them big hugs and kisses. Give them all some hugs and kisses.
That was Dave Farver, Mr. Saxophone, from the KidStar Album of the Month. Check it out on our website, kidstar.org.